Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Miller. This is the What Drives You podcast, where we focus on your drive. Your drive is working in some areas of your life, producing great success, yet in other areas, maybe not so much. Let's get clarity on what you value, what motives are helping and hurting you, and get you fully into alignment so you're driving further and faster and enjoying the ride. The seven values that drive all you do and how to get them in alignment. About 3 months ago, before my dad passed away, Dave Ramsey flew himself and his wife Sharon and three other couples, including Michael and Gail Hyatt. They flew into my parents' house to spend a day saying their last goodbyes. I hadn't seen Dave and Sharon in many years. It was great to connect and sit outside by the pool with them. But it reminded me that for three decades, Dave has been talking about finances, about money, got one of the biggest shows on the planet. And though the times have changed, the core concepts just remain the same. So why do people keep tuning in to listen to him every single day? And it's because change and growth just requires repetition. So here, I want to do some repetition and run through the seven values that drive your life, that drive my life, and help you gain more clarity on how to get any faltering areas into alignment. This is something I need every single day. Hey, friends, you're here listening because you want to grow and progress in your life, personally and professionally. I spend a lot of time behind a microphone, but delivering a message is different than actually working with someone through the process of drive. So I offer some very specific drive-related consulting. A lot of people have not realized that. You can go to my website, kevinmiller.co, click on Work with Kevin. There's four consulting packages, and I'll tell you, they are around one, Drive Your Influence. It's for those who are pursuing the business of selling themselves, authors, podcasters, coaches, consultants. You are selling your influence, and that's what I help with. Driving Your Podcast, obviously, that's my main gig. So if you want to start a podcast or you have one and you want to establish and grow it, I work with you on that. Driving Your Idea Startup. I love a blank sheet of paper, an idea, a concept, and bringing it to life, giving it a viable framework. And then last, balancing and aligning your drive, especially when you're looking at your life and your work and you want to bring those together and avoiding burnout. So again, kevinmiller.co, you can click on Work with Kevin and you can inquire right there. There's a form you can fill out. I'll respond to you personally, no matter what. All right, well, drive with me a moment. Let's walk through the seven areas of value in your life that drive your life. I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely. The seven values that drive all you do and how to get them in alignment. Well, folks, my book, chapter one, is titled Being Driven is Just a Thought Away. And it goes through that and makes the case for you have all the drive you need in you. You're just looking to get it into gear, to trigger it, in essence. Chapter two is how to unlock your unique drive and really goes through the overall concept. But then, and this is where I'm going to start in. Chapter three starts in with this first area of value. I say that there's seven, this first area, and this is really based off the Ziglar Wheel of Life. There's a lot of people who have these from four spokes to 10 spokes and whatever, but looking at the same areas we all know are the key areas where we find value. Number one, spirituality. I make the case that spirituality is a foundation of our life. It's interesting. Dr. Tama Bryant, she is the new president of the APA, American Psychological Association. One of her, we had her on the show, and one of her main focal points there as the leader is to bring spirituality into therapy, into psychology. She says that's one of the main tenets of our lives as humans, and not to include that leaves out a primary part of our overall drive in life. And that is the point. So when you look at it spiritually, the foundation of spirituality is believing in something or devoting yourself to something greater than yourself, whether that is God, whether that is humanity. A lot of people say love these days. Either way, it gets us out of looking at ourselves only, living for ourselves only. What are we devoted? That's where we find purpose. The great humanitarian Lynn Twist has a book called Living a Committed Life. Had her on the show as well. And that's her point in there, is finding something to devote yourself really brings into alignment all of your life. So there, is that an area where a lot of people these days just find a void? There's kind of nothing there. They may have been hurt by religion and they reject it, or they just kind of say, I don't know. And they don't attest to a spiritual foundation. And yet, if you look at the 250 plus guests on my show, the majority of them are very clear, the vast majority, very clear on what they are devoting themselves to. And it's serving a greater good. So if that's a missing piece in your life, I would say, give that some gravity. Look at that. Why is that? And what is it that you find purpose and meaning in? And it will be to a greater purpose other than just yourself. When it's all on you, it's all about you, it's all up to you, it is depressing. And we see that in chronic illness and disease and diseases of despair these days. So that is an area to look at and go, are you out of alignment? Do you know what you want spiritually? And when you say that, I want X. Okay, why? Why is that? And you say, well, I want, you know, it's because I want this, but why? And we're going to get into your beliefs, your own faith or lack thereof. And often you're going to find that you're out of alignment. There's some discrepancies. There's some frustrations. There's some doubt. There's some uncertainty. And boy, I won't put spirituality in an area where we can ever have certainty. But it is a place where we ultimately say, hey, this is what I have faith in. Even if it's saying, I have faith that there is nothing but myself. Okay. That's a faith. So that's an area to work through. Again, you can work through it more in my book, or you can just go into spirituality. There's untold opportunities to dig in there. But for a lot of people, it is just an impetus to say, that's an area I need to dig into. Number two, chapter four of my book, What Drives Your Relationships? Boy, that's an area where nobody's knocking it perfectly out of the ballpark. But again, what do you want? That's a question we don't often ask. What do we want our relationships? And it's usually a self-serving issue. Well, I want love. I want affection. I want romance. I want this. But what do you believe in? What's your value? What do you value for relationships? None of us would exist or would want to exist without somebody or somebodies to be in union with. Even me as an introvert who's recording this from a cabin out in the Rocky Mountains by myself right now. I'm here talking to you. Thomas Merton devoted his life, primarily the monk, to solitude. And yet he wrote, I think, 54 books. We all have that drive back to spirituality, to a greater purpose, but also to people. We want to be in union with people. What do you want out of your relationships? What do you want out of your marriage? I wish I had asked myself that at a greater depth. What do you want out of your parenting? Most people don't ask themselves what the point is. I didn't either. And we have to come around to it then, and usually after we've caused damage. But what do you value? So if you look at relationships, what do you want? Step back out of the roles and the have to's and the musts. What do you want out of relationships? What do you want with a partner, if it's, you know, a romantic partner or a committed relationship? If you want that, you don't have to have that. Lots of people don't. What do you want out of friends? What do you want? What do you value with your family, you know, your extended family relationships? What are the relationships in your life? What do you want? This is a big part, all of this, giving yourself permission to ask yourself that, because most of us never have. And we just take the cultural perspective. We watch Friends and on the sitcom and think that that's what friendship is supposed to be like, or whatever it is that you've been exposed to. What gives you life? All right, next, number three, what drives your body? your health and wellness, how you look, how you feel. Those are different. It's one thing. We generally think about health and wellness, and people will gravitate towards just their health, especially if it's lacking their health, how they feel, aches and pains and disease and sickness, or they're looking at just how they look solely. And again, to step back and go, what about you? What do you want to look in the mirror and see for you, not for expectations out there, whatever? What makes you feel good about you? Remember in the movie, The Matrix, the first one, after he takes the red pill and he comes and he looks down, he's wearing clothes and his hair is done a certain way. And the character Morpheus says, that's your residual self-image. It's how you see yourself, how you want to see yourself. So that's on the how you look part. How about how you feel? What are you okay with? Are you okay with XYZ aches and pains, sickness, illness, disease, lesser capacity? But to accept and go, what do you want and why? What's the why behind it? A lot of people say, oh, I want to, you know, look fit and trim. Why? Why? Get to the heart of it. And it's because you want to attract somebody. You want to keep somebody. You want to impress somebody. And those things aren't necessarily bad, but are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? I mean, I would say I want to look a certain way for me, and I want to look a certain way because people do judge you by that. I'm not doing it just for them, but I just want the benefit of that. And I could look at it and go, I don't care. I'm going to sit in my cubicle or my office and just write and record, and it doesn't matter what I look like, and I don't care what people think. And if you're good with that, that's what matters. Or if you want something different, same thing with how you look and you feel. I'm out here, I'm getting ready to go on a long mountain bike ride, and I want to be at a top shape. Why? Mainly just for me. I don't know if I'll do races this year. I might, but even if I do, I'm not going to win any money. I'm not going to win anything that matters really. It's just for me. And you don't have to want that. What do you want? How do you want to feel? What capacity and capability do you want? What energy do you want? Ultimately, I look down, and for a lot of us, we want creativity. We want decision-making skills. We want to be at peace. And that takes a level of health and wellness and how we feel in order to have that. Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin. Next one. What drives your mind? What kind of mindset do you want? What kind of mental space do you want? Mental state? I struggle with anxiety. Whether it's worry and fear, honestly. I mean, again, I'm going to admit that. That's a struggle. It doesn't mean it rules my life, but it is a struggle. I can have anxiety, just excited about stuff. I have to talk myself off the ledge of just being kind of up and pushing and driving. Again, drive is not the holy grail. It depends on what you're driving towards. I'm going to be just driving with my hair on fire, excited about something, and I can't sleep. Well, I want to sleep. So I have to work on my mental state. What kind of mental state? That's interesting to look at. If you look at, think about movie characters or people that you know and think, what kind of mental state do you revere? What gives you peace? Who are the people you want to hang around? Who are the people that influence you? What's their mental state like? I'm going to guess, or at least I'll just claim it, own it for me. It's peace. People who are at peace. People who are not pushing themselves to impress upon other people. People who can be silent, people who consider others, people who don't let the circumstances flutter them. Doesn't mean that they are, 1,000% stoic and nothing moves them. I want them to be moved, to laugh, to cry, to feel. I want to do that. I can tend to be so stoic, so emotionless, which is not a fair depiction of stoicism, of real healthy stoicism. I don't mean to pick on that. I appreciate that. We've done a series on that. But again, what mindset do we want? What do we revere? And then, of course, with all this, what are we doing to achieve that? Next, what drives your work? Number five. We all often look at, hey, what do you do? It's what you work at. How are you? What do you want for your work? Really, what do you want? What do you want to do? And it's not just play, I submit. It's not just play. There's that old quote, you know, find the work you love. You'll never work a day in your life. It's all play. I disagree completely. Man, the work that gives me the most fulfillment, the most joy that I desire to do, it's challenging. It's challenging. And I like the challenge. It's interesting. It reminds me of my old religious upbringing. And, you know, if you make it to heaven, you're going to sit in a cloud and sing hymns for 1,000 years. Oh my gosh, spare me. That's not what I want to do. I hope that there's some challenge. I want a mountain to climb in heaven. I want some challenge. I want to sweat. I hope that there's, well, I hope a lot of things. I won't go down that road, but I want challenge in my work. And I think in any good work, find anyone that you follow, that you revere, that you respect in the work you do, I submit that they will say, holy smokes, it was monumental. It was a mountain to climb. And oh my gosh, it was so worth it. What do you want for your work? Do you have meaning? Are you okay? Are you happy, fulfilled, satisfied? Again, not fun and play, but the place where you spend your life, be a building, creating, leaving something behind. Those are not luxuries, especially in today's day and age. We have a lot of opportunity to find things that fit us uniquely. So what do you want and why? I want to make a lot of money. Why? I want to achieve X. Why? What is at the core of the emotion that you are trying to fulfill through that? Where do you find meaning and purpose in your work? So what do you want and now why? And are you in agreement with that? Hey, I'm doing this job just to make money. Well, is that okay overall? And again, kudos to you for doing what you got to do to pay the bills for a time. But if you can do that with purpose and fulfilling the roles that you are meant to fill. I'm a big fan of Working Genius by Patrick Lencioni. We're about to have him back on the show. He actually endorsed my book. You'll see it on the cover or the back cover. His profile, test, quiz, whatever you want to call it, Working Genius. It used to be $25. Don't know what it is now. WorkingGenius.com. And you can go see where is your working genius? Where is your primary skill and ability and capacity and capability in your work? And you can see that there. Another one that you can take for free is Spark Type, SparkeType.com by Jonathan Fields. And it's a free one that gives a similar perspective to look at your work, where your working genius is. All right, number six, I believe here. What drives your money? Finances. Boy, this is one I'm studying a lot, guys. I'm 53 years old and I have made plenty of money. And somehow I find a way to, well, I do have 100 children, but we don't retain a lot. It's not a skill set for me. It's not an interest of mine. It's not a motivation of mine. So that you can say that, oh, money doesn't motivate me, and it can sound altruistic and good. Well, it should motivate you. I wish it had motivated me a lot more, because with money, you can do more of what you're meant to do. You can provide more. And not being money conscious, as the book Think and Grow Rich talks about, is going to hurt anyone. And that's been me. So what do you want financially? What do you want with money? And then why? And getting to the why, big recommender of someone else who endorsed my book, Ken Honda. Ken Honda, number one self-improvement personality in Japan. Ken Honda, in his book, Happy Money. Incredible way to look at how do you feel. He's saying that's what matters. How do you feel? What are the emotions around money? How you make it, how you spend it. Man, we've got a culture that is more and more disdaining money. We disdain the wealthy, the rich. We disdain taxes. We disdain, we have to work to make all this money in the capitalistic society. And just a lot of negative emotions around money. And money is just, back to Dave Ramsey, he says, money like a brick. It's not good or bad. It's just a thing. You can throw it through somebody's window and hurt them, or you can build an orphanage. It's just money. So how do you feel about it? Last, in the Ziglar Wheel of Life, it's a personal category. You know, what are your personal interests? And those matter. They really do. You know what? And I'm gonna deviate from my plan here. I said seven things. I'm going to give you eight because the personal interests do matter. I don't have them in my book because when we look at what motivates people, I think this makes you more of who you are is your personal interest. The things that you're involved in, like me, I'm out here in the woods, the nature, and I invest myself. I live in nature. Mountain biking and athletic adventures, man, they fill my soul and inspire me and just fuel my drive. Sometimes working with wood, I do woodwork stuff and I have these, you know, these areas of interest. So those are important. So I am going to put that there and say, if you don't have any, if you don't have some areas of inspiration that you're investing in, and you can say, hey, my family inspires me and my work inspires me. That's good. I find, again, most of the people I have here on the show that we're all listening to and following, being influenced by, they have areas that they invest in, things that they do, interests that they do just for them. They don't do it for their vocation. They may not be productive, quote, in and of themselves. There's things that they do for fun, for play, for inspiration, that just fills them and makes them more of who they are. But I did deviate because actually number seven in my, as I have in my book, is your achievements. As far as when we look at what really drives us, we're driven by what we've done, which sounds, you know, it's a little muddy there because I don't want us to judge ourselves only on what we do. That's what I have done. That's been a primary handicap of my life, an Achilles heel. I want to judge myself by who I am, who I be, not just what I do. But it does matter to us. We look and we are proud of ourselves by things that we've done. That's it. Now, today, when I go to a mountain bike race and do that, I'm not going to win anything grand. But I'm proud of me. I'm proud of me for my own investment in my health and wellness. I do it for me. It's an achievement that matters to me. What is yours? What is it that you want to do? I heard of somebody recently who's going to go back and get their degree. Only for them. It really doesn't matter for their vocation at this point, but it's just something that matters to them that they want to prove to themselves. And they want to do it so that they feel proud of themselves, which is, I said, man, go for it. Do it. What is an achievement, or how do you feel about your past achievements? And a lot of people, this is one of the top deathbed regrets by Bronnie Ware, an Australian hospice nurse. And she's one of the main regrets, or one of our main regrets overall, is what we haven't done. So it's looking back, go, man, I wish I'd have done that just for me. So what are the achievements? I work through what this looks like in the book. Again, if you want to go deeper, the book's called What Drives You. You can find it on Amazon, but you can get into looking at this and how do you feel about your achievements and how will you feel? How do you want to feel about achievements that you haven't done yet? And this is an area to get really clear because you don't want to do them based on somebody else, based on just impressing other people. That can be a part of it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's unhealthy, but what are the things that you want to achieve for you that make you feel good about you? I'm more and more interested in that. Even that word, a lot of people struggle with the word proud because it looks to pride. Tom Ziegler said self-approval. But what are the things I look more and more at? What are the things I want to do that just make me feel good about me? And you could even dig into those and say, well, you shouldn't have to do X, Y, Z to feel good about yourself. There may be some merit to that. I'm not going to discount that. And yet I'm going to give it some credit too. Go, well, you know, if it does make me feel better about me, I think that has value. You could say maybe it shouldn't be. We should be perfect just sitting on a mountaintop alone doing nothing. Yes, content. I want to give more credit to that. But I'm not really satisfied with, I want to do more. I want to grow. I want to experience. I want to change. I want to achieve some things. So there are your seven areas, and I gave you an extra one on the personal interests that my book goes through, but those are the ones to think through. I mean, that's where we all live every day. We get up and we think about these areas of life. You know, we think about they're going to fall under the umbrella of these areas of life and where we feel satisfied, go to that word again, and where we are driven. That's where our drive comes from. Is those areas of life, and we are succeeding or failing in accordance with our alignment. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining me on this journey talking about the key areas of drive and getting ourselves into alignment. Thanks for tuning in. Again, if you are interested in working with me, especially in the areas of influence, find me at kevinmiller.co. Click on that work with Kevin link, and I invite you to inquire with me. and I'll respond to you. There's no commitment in doing that. I'm happy to be in contact with you and respond to you, whether we end up working together or not. Hey, until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride. Thanks so much for joining me on this journey. I look forward to meeting you in the Drive Tribe community for ongoing discussions about each episode. You can subscribe to the Drive Drop newsletter for weekly updates. Find it all at kevinmiller.co, along with all our social media and video clips. Until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride.